Welcome to this podcast from the Medical Journal of Australia. My name is Sam Hunt, the MJA's News and Online Editor. Today we are discussing the Australian Child Maltreatment Study, which is published as a supplement to the April 3rd edition of the Medical Journal of Australia. The study was funded by the National Health and Medical Research Council, with additional funding from the Australian Government. My special guests today are Professor David Lawrence and Associate Professor Holly Erskine. David Lawrence is a Professor of Mental Health at Curtin University and Adjunct Professor at the University of Western Australia. Associate Professor Holly Erskine leads the Child and Adolescent Psychiatric Epidemiology and Services Research Stream at the Queensland Centre for Mental Health Research. She is also an Adjunct Associate Professor with the School of Public Health at the University of Queensland. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Sam. Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Holly, I'll start with you. The findings in this Australian Child Maltreatment Study are sobering. Can you tell me a brief overview of what you've found?
Absolutely. Look, Sam, the findings are both sobering and staggering. What we found is that child maltreatment is widespread, as I think most of us did expect. However, the extent really shocked us. 62% of the Australian population aged 16 and up have experienced some form of child maltreatment in their lives. Also, what we found is that girls experience particularly high rates of sexual abuse and emotional abuse. But again, it is spread across the sexes, and really we see its impact across the Australian population. And I guess just to speak to the youth population in particular, so it's still a major problem affecting today's children and youth. In our 16 to 24 years age group, we found that there are actually increases in some types of child maltreatment compared to the other older age groups. And this includes emotional abuse, particularly in girls, exposure to domestic violence, and also sexual abuse by other adolescents. And I guess just to speak to, before David jumps in, the scope of the Australian Child Maltreatment Study, or ACMS, this is quite staggering because we looked at all five types of child maltreatment. So we see this incredible impact across the Australian population. David?
Thanks, Holly. So one of the other things we wanted to do in the Child Maltreatment Study, not just look at the prevalence of child maltreatment, but look at the impact across the life course. So we asked people in the survey about their experience of a range of mental health problems and a range of risk behaviours and conditions, and we found that there were substantial differences. For instance, we found that adults who had experienced one or more of the five types of child maltreatment before the age of 18, almost 50% had one of the four mental disorders that we looked at in the study, compared to only 20% in the population at large. That's a very big difference, considering that over half of the population reports one or more types of child maltreatment. We also found that there were very high rates, concerning rates of a range of risk behaviours, including self-harming and suicidal behaviours, cannabis dependence, substance use, alcohol and cigarettes, and one of the really surprising findings, I guess, for us is that when we looked at people over the age of 30 in the study, we found almost no cases where there was self-harming behaviours, suicidal behaviours, cannabis dependence in the previous year who weren't actually exposed to child maltreatment. So the extent to which these risk behaviours and mental health problems, obviously we've done a cross-sectional study, we can't prove cause and effect, but the extent to which these problems might be associated with child maltreatment as one of the factors is potentially quite large.
So let's look at how you did the study. I understand data was collected from 8,500 Australians.
Yeah, so look, I think that's one of the incredible strengths about the Australian Child Maltreatment Study, and also why the findings are so staggering is because the methodology itself is so comprehensive and so, I guess, sound. I guess taking a step back, one of the big motivators for this study was that, look, we know that child maltreatment is common worldwide and we know it has these negative impacts in the life course. However, what was really lacking was a study from anywhere, not just Australia, but from anywhere, that actually looked at all five types of child maltreatment, as well as their respective outcomes and associated factors. And we know from a public health point of view and from a policy point of view that you actually need good data in order to make good decisions. Obviously, we need more than just good data. We need the correct policy in place and the motivation to make good decisions. But good data is our founding principle for good decisions. So the ACMS was really driven by that. And that's why we have this methodology that is nationally representative. So it represents the entire Australian population of 16 and above. And to be able to survey just over, by three people, 8,500 individuals across Australia really speaks, I think, to the strength of these findings. And I guess just to mention as well, obviously the focus was on child maltreatment. But as David mentioned, we also measured health outcomes, risk behaviours, and a number of other things like service use, peer bullying and sibling victimisation, criminal justice system involvement. So really it's about child maltreatment and the contextual factors and the outcomes around child maltreatment as well, which hopefully makes this data powerful enough to enact some real change.
Yes, and I do want to get on to change. But just before we do that, for our audience who may not know, can you tell me what those five types of child maltreatment you looked at were?
Of course. And you can see when you've been in a study for so long, you sort of forget to explain what the five types actually are. So the five types of child maltreatment we looked at are physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, and exposure to domestic violence.
And one of the startling things is you found that child maltreatment is quite widespread and it's not an isolated event. What can you tell me about how widespread it is and which gender it affects most?
So we looked at five types of child maltreatment, as Holly mentioned. We found that physical abuse and exposure to domestic violence were very similar between boys and girls, but girls disproportionately were victims of sexual abuse, neglect, and emotional abuse. So overall, we found the prevalence of child maltreatment was over 60%. We found that 30% of Australians reported having experienced physical abuse, and almost 30% reported experiencing sexual abuse. Almost 40% of Australians reported being exposed to domestic violence. So these types of abuse are significant in terms of their prevalence in society. We also looked at the frequency to which people were exposed to these types of abuse. And we found that most people are experiencing abuse not just once or twice, but multiple times and often over a period of years.
Those statistics you mention are shocking. When you received the data back and you interpreted it and analysed it, were you and the team quite stunned by what you found?
Look, to be honest, Sam, yes. Yes, we were. And the team who ran the Australian Child Maltreatment Study are individuals with experience and expertise in child maltreatment, as well as the associated health outcomes. And we were shocked. We knew it would be widespread, but to see that it's close to 2 in 3 Australians have experienced child maltreatment was really staggering, particularly considering the comprehensive methodology of the survey. These are not brief measures of child maltreatment nor the other health associated outcomes. These are quite comprehensive measures that you can apply a strict threshold to. And even with doing that, we still found 62% of Australians having experienced child maltreatment. So I think for all of us, it was very shocking and sobering, both from a professional perspective as well as honestly from a personal perspective too.
And it seems that what you've found is these broad, long-lasting effects into adulthood of maltreatment. What can you tell me about that?
The findings related to the prevalence of child maltreatment were sobering enough. And then came the association with these outcomes, both in terms of mental disorders and what we call health risk behaviors like smoking, cannabis dependence, self-harm, and suicide. And what we found was that adults who had experienced child maltreatment were 2.8, so close to three times more likely to develop a mental disorder than those who had not experienced child maltreatment. So if we look at it in terms of the actual proportions in our sample who reported mental disorders, 48% of those who had experienced child maltreatment, so close to half, had experienced a mental disorder, as compared to 21% of those who had not experienced child maltreatment. And across the mental disorders, the four mental disorders we measured, the associations were really strong. This wasn't driven by one disorder in particular. We saw odds ratios of three times more likely for major depression or generalized anxiety. And something like PTSD, which we know is relatively rare in the general Australian population, those who had experienced child maltreatment were over four and a half times more likely to have had PTSD.
And tell me, David, perhaps how much of a concern is that going forward for the population, that such a considerable portion of the population have had such a difficult history?
I think for us, there's two main themes coming out of the survey. One is obviously the need to try and reduce the prevalence of child maltreatment in the future to protect our children more effectively. But also we have to recognise this is a survey of adults aged 16 and over, and we know that there is a substantial proportion of the Australian population who have experienced these events, and it will take a generation or more. We have adults who have been exposed to child maltreatment in the past whose lives are still being affected in a negative way. And while I think we've started to think about the issue of, say, trauma-informed responses to certain types of problems as part of how we deal with certain issues in society, that still seems to be a fairly niche area of intervention. And our data is suggesting that when you're looking at adults who are self-harming, who are suicidal, who have significant mental health problems, including PTSD, depression, anxiety, it is more likely than not that these people have experienced a range of different types of maltreatment as young people. And we probably should be thinking of trauma-informed responses, or at least assessing exposure to trauma as a standard part of our response to these issues, and not just a niche factor. So, you know, one of the things we found in the survey is that of the five types of child maltreatment, the majority of people who experience child maltreatment experience more than one type. So these are pervasive and ongoing issues that affect a large number of people.
My special guests today are Professor David Lawrence and Associate Professor Holly Erskine. David Lawrence is the Professor of Mental Health in the School of Population Health at Curtin University and the Adjunct Professor in the School of Population and Global Health at the University of Western Australia. Associate Professor Holly Erskine leads the Child and Adolescent Psychiatric Epidemiology and Services Research Stream at the Queensland Centre for Mental Health Research. She's also an adjunct associate professor with the School of Public Health at the University of Queensland. David, as a professor of mental health, let's look to the future and what can be done to protect Australian children. This is such a sobering study, and it really is a wake-up call.
Well, I think the survey findings are highlighting that there is a lot that we still have to do. It is good that over the last few years there has been more public attention given to some issues around child maltreatment, and in particular institutional child sexual abuse has been on the agenda. We did see some glimmers of hope in the survey data. There were a couple of types of child maltreatment with specific types of offender and institutional and family perpetrated child sexual abuse does appear to have declined slightly. So that is a positive indication that maybe things that we've been doing in these areas are helpful. We have identified some areas where we think there are significant problems that we haven't really as a society thought very much about at all. When we look specifically at experience of child sexual abuse, the most common type of offender was similar aged adolescents, and in particular, young people who are being sexually assaulted by either partners or ex-partners. And that's an issue that I think as a society, we haven't really talked very much about at all. We also found in the survey when we looked at across the five different types, which types are specifically associated with higher rates of harm, we found that sexual abuse and emotional abuse were almost equally impactful in terms of adverse mental health and risk behavior outcomes. And obviously we understand fairly well the impact of sexual abuse, but as a society, have we thought as much about emotional abuse? And in emotional abuse, we're talking about ongoing instances of young people being made to feel that they're not worthy, that they're not important, that they're not valuable, saying things to your children like, I wish you had never been born, things like this. So significant negative comments that we're finding are having a long-lasting impact on people across the life course. We think there's a lot of work that we can do to try and address some of these things. We think that people who are working in roles that have contact with children need to have a good degree of literacy around the different types of child maltreatment and the ways in which it can express itself. So thinking about ways in which we can provide more safe environments for children to express the experiences that they're feeling and giving them the language to describe the experiences that they're exposed to may also be helpful.
Let me ask you both, Holly, I'll start with you. What prompted you to get involved with this work? Because I'm pretty sure you would have known from the outset that you would uncover quite uncomfortable things.
Look, I think for me, coming from my research background of child and adolescent mental health, one of the big challenges with trying to understand mental health among young people at a population level is understanding what is driving it. And often trying to understand what is driving it then comes with a whole set of challenges about, well, how do we measure these kinds of risk factors? And, you know, it sounds cliche, but for me now, being a mum of a young daughter, I think I was driven even more so to look at something like child maltreatment that, both in terms of measuring it and addressing it, goes beyond the health system. In order to do something about this, we are talking about, you know, housing, income inequality, employment, a whole range of factors that require government departments who don't normally talk to each other to kind of come together across multiple political cycles. And so for me, really the drive to be involved in such an incredible study was the fact that it would produce data that could potentially do that. We have the data now. There is no excuse not to act on it.
Well said. And let me ask you, David, as a professor of mental health, you would be exposed to this world and these concepts quite a lot. I understand it was probably still shocking for you. What prompted your involvement?
I think as a mental health researcher, we've known for a long time that experience of maltreatment and neglect are strong risk factors for developing mental health issues throughout life. But I don't think we really appreciated at any extent the pervasiveness and the high prevalence of maltreatment and the extent to which maltreatment might be a driving factor in a high proportion of mental health problems. I think honestly, I had felt that yes, it is a high risk factor for a small proportion of the population who have these really negative experiences, but that there were a lot of other things that were really important to support mental health. I think now we can see that that's probably not the case, that maltreatment is a high risk factor that affects a very large proportion of our population and is one of the most important issues that we have to tackle. But tackling these significant hard problems are the things that are likely to have the most benefit in the long term for our society. So I think it's important that we talk about these issues, that we think about the ways that we can improve our understanding, the ways that we can better support adults who have had these experiences, and the way that we can hopefully reduce the exposure of children in future generations to negative experiences.
Professor David Lawrence, Associate Professor Holly Erskine, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
David Lawrence is a Professor of Mental Health in the School of Population Health at Curtin University and Adjunct Professor in the School of Population and Global Health at University of Western Australia. Associate Professor Holly Erskine leads the Child and Adolescent Psychiatric Epidemiology and Services Research Stream at the Queensland Centre for Mental Health Research. She is also an adjunct associate professor with the School of Public Health at the University of Queensland. The Australian Child Maltreatment Study is published as a supplement to the April 3rd issue of the Medical Journal of Australia. You can find out more at mja.com.au. Thanks for listening.